Amazing Grace. It wasn't the best time to have something stuck in my head. There were other things that my gray matter should have been focused on, but our brains don't always do as they're told. But really, my brain on vacation is part of what makes this job tolerable. If I couldn't escape from the drudgery of it all, sometimes, I'm not sure how long I'd last in this profession. It's true that no one really sets out to do what I do as a childhood aspiration. People in my line of work aren't the heroes of the playground. I started working here because the salary is good. People have to eat, and with the ever-increasing rent rates these days, we don't always get to choose our passion as our profession. It's not as difficult for me as it is for others. I don't have a spouse or a family. I don't even have a pet. But still, I have bills to pay, and the laws of survival require that I eat at least once a day. I've never been one who gets along with others. As a child, I was much happier digging in the dirt and playing with old leaves and bugs than talking with the other kids. Most kept themselves at a distance, and I was fine with that. There are so many opportunities for conversation failure, it was easier just not. Besides, the less I say, the less I have to remember, and the less ammunition others have to use against me. Being a loner wasn't really a choice, but it's working out okay. I love music. It fills the gaps between the slogs of endless repetition. It makes the long afternoons more tolerable. Also, music is a good redirection tool when it's raining and you still have to go out and get the job done. My work requires a lot of physical exertion, and having a playlist is good for maintaining momentum when your muscles have had enough. It's also good for tuning out the whiners and criers, the depressed, the entitled, and the holier-than-thou rhetorical orators. As I said, I'm not great with conversation, but keeping music in my head makes sure I remain distracted just enough that they think I'm mentally deficient, and that thought alone keeps them at their distance. Sometimes, when the work gets really boring, I sub-vocalize, or maybe even whisper the lyrics to myself when I do what needs to be done. It's interesting. The minute you start talking to yourself in this environment, people tend to give you a wide berth. Their stares can hurt my feelings a little sometimes, but I shrug it off. After all, my goal is to limit interaction, and as my ex-girlfriend explained to me more times than I can count, I can't have it both ways. I'm okay with the sideways glance now and again if it means I can expand my personal space boundaries. But as I said, today wasn't the best time to have a song stuck in my head. It wasn't really a bad thing per se. The thing about it was that I became so involved with the music in my head as I was working, I didn't realize it came out of my mouth. I forget sometimes that what I perceive as a whisper can often be louder than I expect, simply because of the intense silence of my workplace. Well, that, and I'm a little hard of hearing. I don't ever mean to sing out loud, at least not when there are other people around. But this time, I was so lost in my own head and the mundane repetition of the job that I forgot. Keeping my sanity around here can be challenging sometimes. The song I heard the bagpiper play was familiar and, in my line of work, oppressively redundant. It seems that not a day goes by that tune doesn't echo from across the green. I thought about how bored that guy must be playing it over and over again, but he kept showing up for work, so maybe there was something to it. I suppose playing the same stuff all the time means that he doesn't have to work on new material. Like with me, I guess. He just gets into the groove of the same old, and collects his check without a lot of emotional involvement. Here's the thing, though. With every robotic swing of the shovel, my brain substituted different lyrics. It was a curse I received during a summer night about 10 years ago. Some friends and I shared an old bottle of scotch, and we sat around a campfire. A guitar strummed the familiar tune, and just as I was about to complain about their morbid song choice, some of the group began to sing the wrong lyrics in three-part harmony. Ever since then, I haven't been able to unhear it. Like I said, it's a curse. Most of the time I can keep it to myself, but today, it got away from me. After the larger group of people left the area, my boss gave the signal that I could start work. A few stragglers mingled nearby. It happens sometimes. People hang out to watch. It's weird and mildly annoying. It feels like being held under a microscope while I'm working. I figured there are probably just micromanagers of the world, the housewives who were used to dusting with white gloves. Those kinds of people. For whatever reason, they thought it was important that they monitor my proficiency. This is a hard job to screw up, so I don't get it. But whatever makes them happy, I suppose. Just as long as they don't get in my way. Their heads were hung at odd angles as they watched. Maybe they were in deep reflection or prayer or whatever it is people do inside their heads while they watch me work. Some of them could have been working out yesterday's crossword puzzle, or maybe thinking about the cat's litter box that needs emptying. The possibilities are endless. Anyway, they stood there in complete silence, just watching me. Staring at me, as that blasted bagpiper did his thing in the distance. I've never been tremendously comfortable with people watching me, but I've learned to accept that sometimes what I do draws spectators. It's really strange. So I dove into my head and went to work, ignoring them as best I could. Shovel, heave the dirt, thunk. Shovel, heave the dirt, thunk. Shovel, heave the dirt, thunk. There was a rhythm to it that blended well with the piper. Absent-mindedly, I began to sing. There is a house way down in New Orleans. They call the Rising Sun, and it's been the ruin of many a poor boy, and God, I know I'm one. When I looked up to gauge where to place my next shovel, I was met by the shocked faces of the shadow clad standing around the hole I dug earlier. One woman pulled a tissue to her face and turned away as a younger man reached over to comfort her. "Hey, Stan," said my boss, "why don't you let Hal finish up here? You look tired, and it's nearly quitting time. Grab your check and go on home. I'll see you back on Monday. Night shift, okay?" His stern face was tempered by the white collar around his neck. Not being one to complain about leaving early on a Friday, I shrugged and handed the shovel to Hal. "Thanks, boss. See you all on Monday." I walked away from the grave, lusting after the leftover ribeye and roasted potatoes waiting in my fridge.